Joining us this morning is Dr. Dan Rader of the University of Pennsylvania Health System. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk a little bit here for a few minutes about cholesterol and specifically Lipitor, which is known for reducing cholesterol, but has become a generic. There's a generic version of it available now within the last few weeks, and that should be a good thing for many Americans. Let's start with Lipitor. Do you find that it's an issue for some who don't want to pay for that type of medication, that they go without medication altogether?
Well, statins are the most widely prescribed drug class in the world. They're tremendously valuable in terms of their ability to reduce cardiovascular risk. Lipitor is one of the most studied statins, and a lot of people need to take statins to lower their cholesterol, to lower their risk of heart disease. And cost has been an issue, certainly, for statins. They're not cheap drugs. A few of them are already generic. That has made a big difference in terms of cost. And certainly Lipitor, atorvastatin, now going generic, I think is a huge development for the field, allowing millions of people to basically be able to get generic atorvastatin at a much cheaper price than they currently had to pay for branded Lipitor.
If a patient is taking or has been taking Lipitor, would their doctor on their own switch them to a generic, or would they keep them on that drug, or is it something the patient needs to request?
Well, you know, these sorts of things work differently. A lot of pharmacies and a lot of carriers, payers for prescription plans will make switches to generic automatically unless they're specifically instructed not to. So I think my feeling is that the generic atorvastatin that's available is perfectly acceptable. There's no reason people shouldn't want to take it. But if someone has a reason that they want to stay on branded Lipitor, they certainly need to make that clear to their doctor that that's their desire.
Is there sometimes patient pushback when a doctor would suggest switching to a generic, where a patient might feel comfortable sticking with the name brand something?
Yeah, you know, we live in a world where name brand means a lot, not just in medications, but in all facets of life. People like their name brands. They're used to them. And in particular, when you've been taking a medication for years under a specific name brand, people often feel somewhat uncomfortable switching to a generic. I understand that. I think that is a common psychology. But in the vast majority of cases, the generics that do become available for these name brand drugs are actually very high quality and very acceptable in terms of people taking them. And frankly, because they cost less, it does present a major savings to the healthcare system for people to move to generics when possible.
Just some general questions about cholesterol for, you know, those who don't have it as an issue in their life, may not even completely aware of why it is an issue. What are the dangers of having a high cholesterol level?
Well, high cholesterol is most definitely a cause of early heart disease, and people who have very high cholesterol can get early heart disease in their 20s, 30s, 40s, can have heart attacks at those ages. So certainly very high cholesterol must be treated and really should be treated at an early age. I even see children, teenagers, who have very, very high cholesterol levels who need drug therapy. So that's the subset of people with very high cholesterol. But much more commonly are people who either have heart disease already or who are at risk for heart disease due to other things like diabetes, whose cholesterols may not be terribly high, but they're moderately high, and those people really need to be on a statin as well. So when you really look at the whole universe of people who really need to be on a statin, a drug like Lipitor, it's a lot of people, and frankly, we don't use these drugs enough. My perspective is there are a lot of people out there who really should be on a statin like Lipitor who aren't and need to have that discussion with their doctor.
And this has been so heavily researched and widely researched and been around for so long. Are there any dangers at all to taking a statin for an extended period of time? Let's say you prescribe it for someone who's in their 30s and their cholesterol level, you know, is manageable but doesn't necessarily drop to where it needs to be without the drug, and they're on it for 60 years. Is that a problem for them?
Yeah, no, that's a very appropriate question. I've just said how valuable statins can be in reducing risk of heart attack and stroke, by the way. But one has to also think about the other side. So it turns out that statins overall are remarkably safe drugs. They really have been out for now over 20 years, and the long-term safety with statins is remarkably high. The major effect with statins that a lot of people know about is muscle pain. So a small percent of people do get muscle pain when they take statins, even to the point where they have to stop it. And very rarely, that muscle pain can be so severe that it causes severe general muscle achiness and can actually injure the kidneys and even in rare cases cause death. So that's a very rare side effect of statins, but balanced against, frankly, the tremendous benefits of statins in reducing risk of heart attack and stroke over many years.
As a doctor, is one of the first things you recommend always diet and exercise, changing the diet, increasing exercise to lower cholesterol, or is the statin?
I know what you're saying. Absolutely. So I don't want any listener to think that the first time someone walks in my office, even who has a moderately elevated cholesterol, I'm going to say, well, you start your statin. As you point out, a cornerstone of lowering cholesterol but also reducing risk of heart disease for the long term is lifestyle. Diet, particularly aspects of the diet that involve limiting saturated and trans fats, and exercise, very, very important as a way of reducing cardiovascular risk and in some cases lowering cholesterol. So these are cornerstones that we always try these first, depending on the individual and how high their cholesterol is. We'll give them at least 6 months, sometimes a year or more, to really work on lifestyle to see if they can get their cholesterol down. But it does turn out that many people, even those who actually change their lifestyle and do better on diet and exercise, still need the statin to really maximally reduce their long-term risk of heart disease.
And what about those, not that I guess cholesterol and obesity are linked together necessarily, and this is, I guess, just anecdotal from what I know, but I'm sure it's the case for many people, where you may know someone who is not overweight but has very high cholesterol, and conversely, some people that seem to be a little heavy or a lot heavy who don't have a high cholesterol level. How and why does that happen?
Yeah, so obesity and cholesterol are linked, although not as tightly as you might imagine. And it's true that there are overweight people who are otherwise remarkably healthy, don't have high cholesterol, don't have diabetes, don't seem to be developing heart disease. Conversely, as you point out, there are plenty of thin people who have high cholesterol and who have other risk factors for heart disease and diabetes. So although these track together, they don't track perfectly. And I think what it points out is for any given individual, it's really important to have a good assessment by a doctor, someone who is their primary care physician, that really assesses their overall risk of developing cardiovascular disease and diabetes and these long-term common disorders that we see in our society, and then have a discussion about what can they do, what can that individual do, not just lifestyle, but in some cases medication like statins, to try to reduce their risk of these long-term, very serious diseases.
If someone has high cholesterol and, for example, exercise is mentioned to them, what type of exercise do you suggest in the beginning? You're not suggesting someone goes and runs a marathon, but what can you do to make a difference?
So first, let me emphasize, I think everybody, every adult really, and child for that matter, really ought to develop an exercise routine. It's not just people with high cholesterol, not just people who are overweight. But the general advice I give to people is that if they're going to start exercising, which they should, something like the following: a half hour workout, something where they break a little bit of a sweat or get a little bit short of breath for four times a week would be an optimal regimen. If someone can figure out a way to work that into their schedule, often using exercise equipment in the home or doing just brisk walking outside, some regimen that they can get that kind of routine, the data would suggest that if you can get to that level, you make a substantial difference in terms of your risk of diabetes and your risk of developing heart disease.
What about basic diet changes? Is it as simple as candy, fried foods, and red meat, or is that really where you start, sort of?
Yeah, I think with diet, obviously this is such a complex issue, and we know obesity rates are skyrocketing in this country. There are a lot of issues related to diet and health. But in terms of heart disease per se, cholesterol and heart disease, I can distill it down to fairly simple advice. Really avoiding sources of so-called saturated fat and trans fat. So what that means is avoiding the foods that are high in that. Fried foods you mentioned, red meats, particularly red meats that have a lot of fat on them. Processed foods, processed particularly baked goods and things have a lot of saturated and trans fats in them. So it does come down, frankly, to eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and particularly avoiding these sources of very high levels of fats, particularly saturated and trans fats.
And lastly, the difference between the good and the bad cholesterol, if someone has a cholesterol issue, it's usually because the bad number is very high. What happens if the good cholesterol, the HDL, what if that number is too low? How do you remedy that?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that. Well, certainly the good cholesterol is one topic that I work a lot on, and there's been a lot of controversy and interest in that recently. A low good cholesterol, low HDL, is a risk factor for heart disease. So you need to pay attention to it. You need to ask your doctor about it. On the other hand, we don't really at this point have good evidence that trying to raise the good cholesterol with medication actually reduces risk. So our advice to people with low HDL, low good cholesterol is lower your bad cholesterol aggressively. That is, take a statin if you need to lower your bad cholesterol and work on lifestyle issues, diet and exercise and weight loss as a way to try to raise your good cholesterol and reduce your risk of heart disease.
And one more question for you. Does age matter? You know, if you don't necessarily gain a lot of weight as you age, I'm actually speaking personally, but you get a little older. I bring up the good cholesterol just, you know, on a personal level because mine has been as low as 25, but the bad number, the LDL number, was about 180, which isn't terrible by any stretch, as I understand. But the 25 was awfully low. So I was just curious, you know, how.
Yeah, so I'm glad we're getting personal here at the end. So 25 is a low good cholesterol, I have to say, and certainly is a risk factor for heart disease. I don't know if your 180 was the total or the bad. If it's total, it's okay, not great. If it's the bad cholesterol, meaning the LDL, that's high. That's really high. And anybody with an LDL in that range needs to be on a statin. So, again, maybe you can confirm that. But the bottom line is that our recommendation for people with low HDL, even people like you whose low HDL is really quite substantially low, is to aggressively focus on the bad cholesterol, get that down, work on lifestyle, and not worry too much about the HDL, the good cholesterol per se.
And back to what I was initially going to ask about, you know, the age. Let's say you don't gain a lot of weight, which has been my case, where I haven't gained a significant amount of weight as I go through my 30s. But can your cholesterol change even though your body may not change a whole lot as you age?
Yeah, cholesterol, both good and bad, can change modestly as we get older. In fact, the bad cholesterol does tend to rise a little bit with time. Women who go through menopause often see a bit of a jump in their bad cholesterol and as well as a drop in their good cholesterol. So definitely the aging process, regrettably, even when it's not accompanied by weight gain, can be associated with changes in the cholesterol levels that ultimately I think do impact on risk of developing heart disease and stroke.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, as people become more conscious of health care and the cost and hopefully trying to stay healthier and as you talked about here, even the obesity epidemic, as it's more in the news, this is one of those things you don't necessarily hear a lot about if it doesn't affect you. So it's good to have a conversation like this. Dr. Dan Rader from the University of Pennsylvania Health System, we really appreciate all the information and your time this morning. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, that was very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
The 25 number I thought was low. Then a year later it became 35, and my doctor had said basically, you know, start running. And I'm young enough.
Yeah. Well, 35 is better than 25, but it's still low, as you point out. So, So exercise is definitely the most important thing, I think.
Okay. And I try to do a 5K 3 times a week. So a little bit helps.
Oh, you do? Oh, well, good for you. You do more than the average, that's for sure.
All right. Hey, well, great. Good talking to you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.